Amén. Judah's King Uzziah strengthened Judah's defenses in the early 8th century BC, and this became a source of pride to the noblemen of Judah. Wealth and power in Judah during the initial comparative weakness of the Assyrians made it tempting for the people to rely on the nation's resources instead of on God. At the same time, people of ancient Israel were adopting the ways of the pagan peoples around them, engaging in their worship of idols, practicing divination, and indulging in immorality. The earlier part of Isaiah chapter 2 speaks of the mountain of the Lord's house being exalted, that is Mount Zion, above the hills, and all nations coming to it, and of people of all nations coming to Jerusalem to worship God and learn his ways. It also predicts an age of universal peace after God's judgment of all peoples, when there will be no more wars among the nations. Then, after a command to Israel to obey the Lord, comes God's diagnosis of the people's sinfulness. They ally themselves with Eastern peoples and their godless ways. They are immoral, they resort to divination, their hearts are set on wealth, and the poor and wealthy people all worship idols and their own creations. Now we look at our context today. We are not one of those weak nations where we're afraid of some superpower defeating us, but that superpower may not have reached the fullness of its strength. And we look at ourselves as a nation, United States of America, and it doesn't seem to be too much of a great threat to our existence. But the temptation is to rely on our own resources, to rely on our own wealth, to rely on our technological advancement, to rely on all sorts of things that we have done, right? Instead of putting our trust and our faith in the Lord. Now, the ancient people of Judah then received God's diagnosis, but then God gave them a warning, and the warning begins in the first statement of our first lesson. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted on that day. Now, we may ask ourselves, well, what is the point of entering into the rock and hiding in the dust? We have to understand that these ancient peoples in Judah was a rocky, hilly country, and a lot of the time they could find defense and safety from the enemy by going up into the hills, into the mountains, and hiding there. And that was the point of this, and this is why we have this warning. Enter into the rock. It would have been something they would have understood. And hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Now, we may not think the same way of entering into rock and hiding in the dust, but there is something powerful about this warning. Warning to fear the Lord and the glory of his majesty. If anything in your life is wrong, if there is any sinful habit, if there is any practice which does not please the Lord, then we have reason to fear God. We have reason to be afraid of him at his coming. If we have done our best to put our faith in the Lord and trust in him and lead our lives according to his will and commandments, then we look forward to the Lord's coming. But this warning was addressed to people who were going astray, who were deliberately persisting in wrong things in their lives. And the second statement of this first lesson follows that that the lofty looks of man should be humbled. In other words, it's no good being proud of yourself and of what you have done and what you have achieved in view of, if it displeases God, what you have done and what you have achieved, if what you have done displeases God, then everything is going to be brought low. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted on that day. So we have to look at our lives. We have to see whether we are living right, whether we are taking pride in things we ought not to take pride in, whether we are too full of ourselves. And then the Lord goes on to explain this in detail. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Now we have something similar in the prophecy of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord, that every mountain shall be brought low, every valley filled up, and that makes straight the way of the Lord. What we have to realize is God continually addresses his word of correction to his people, that if you're proud, you need to come down. You need to come down and to put your faith in the Lord. And otherwise, you will be brought low. The same kind of thing is in the Magnificat, that he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty. He has established the lowly. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon. Now, the cedars of Lebanon, to understand that, the cedars of Lebanon were a source of pride to ancient Israel. It was with these wood from these cedars that the temple was built. And the oaks of Bashan were another source of great pride. And so everything comes under the judgment of God. Everything that we're proud of comes under the judgment of God. Upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills. This is figurative for everything that we take pride in. The oaks of Bashan, the cedars of Lebanon. Figurative images for all that we take pride in. And upon every high tower and upon every fenced wall. High towers were a source of pride because they were a defense against the enemy in those times. They wouldn't be today, but they were in those times. And then every fenced wall. Upon all the ships of Tarshish, which were used in trade and commerce. They took great pride in them. And all pleasant pictures, all the pleasant feats of victory inscribed or carved on in wall carvings. All of these the Lord does not take delight in. And then he says in the last statement, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now, we ask the question, what day? When is the day of the Lord? There is a day of the Lord, a final day, yes. But often in Scripture, in the Old Testament in particular, the day of the Lord was a day of judgment. It could be any day in which a nation suffered defeat at the hands of his enemies. And Israel went through this precise thing. The northern kingdom was banished from Samaria to Mesopotamia. And also later, the Babylonian Empire conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. And again, later the Romans in AD 70 destroyed the temple completely. So there is a day of the Lord, a day of judgment. So we have to be careful, even if we cannot see the day of judgment. We do not know when it is or when it comes. There is a day. And so we've got to realize that day the loftiness, the pride of man will be brought low. Then we look at our own individual lives. There are times in our own lives, and we can probably even remember these, that there are times of judgment when it seems like God is judging what we have done. We have to turn around. We have to repent. We have to change our attitude, our way of doing things, and trust in the Lord more fully. So the day of the Lord is actually a warning to us all, whether on an individual basis or on a national basis. It's a warning to us all that pride in the sight of the Lord is marked out for destruction. We cannot persist in it, must not persist in it. So what we need to do is pay attention to this warning. We need to correct what is wrong in our lives. We need to be humble before God, and we need to repent of pride that we have had or still have. For God calls us to humility and to trust in His presence. And the lives of the prophets, if we look at the lives of the prophets and the heroes of the faith, it's written of the heroes of the faith that they lived in holes and caves, in the holes in the ground and in caves. They wandered about from place to place, clad in goat skins. They lived humble lives, showing that they trusted in God for their provision. So what we have to do is realize we may think of ourselves as having achieved a lot, having done a lot, having got so much wealth, perhaps, not in every case, but we've got to realize, let's lay it all before the feet of the Lord. Let us ask Him what we must do with what we have and what we must do with our lives, what we must do henceforth, how we must live. For these things are important. It is not for us to be found so afraid of the Lord when He comes in that decisive time of judgment. We are to be expectant. We are to be filled with joy. But for us to be doing that and to be filled with joy, our lives must reflect the righteousness and the glory of Christ. Amen.